minutes in the scriptures and consider another passage of scripture in the Gospel of John. That's okay. And last time we were together, we looked at John 3:16. We saw it was the greatest verse in the Bible. You remember that? And now we come to the verses that are after this. And remember, this is all in the same answers about how is it that someone gets this new birth. Remember that Jesus said to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. He said those words. And so this is an explanation that's still coming from the lips of Jesus so that we can understand what God is looking for in our lives. And so he has shown us so clearly already, what do I have to do in order to have a new birth, to have a new beginning? What do I have to do to be sure that I have everlasting life? And the scriptures say in John 3:16, if you'll forgive the ripple on the top, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. So God so loved each one of us that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, that whoever, that means anyone can. It doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter where we've come from. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but instead have everlasting life. That means to own it. My friend tonight, do you own everlasting life? Do you have a certainty of heaven? Well, you can. Because here's what the scripture says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. God is not a killjoy. God is not out to condemn you. Matter of fact, he's out to save you. He's out to save people, not to condemn them. You know, so a lot of times when people think about religion, they think about a bunch of people that want to condemn us. Isn't that true? It's often the case. But listen, religion might do that, but God didn't come to condemn us. He actually came to rescue us, to save us. Because look what it says here. And the title of my little message tonight for you from the Bible is Condemned or Not. One or the other. But what does condemn us then? If God doesn't condemn us, what is it that condemns us? We discover that it's our sin that does condemn us. And God came to actually rescue us from condemnation. Not to throw condemnation on you, but to rescue out from under that condemnation. And that's why it says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's invitation. That's God's delight and God's passion and desire. And remember when we looked at John 3:16, it said God so loved the world. You can take the word world out and you can put your name there. You can say that's my name there. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, to condemn you. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn you, but he sent his son into the world to save you, so that the world through him might be saved. And so what we see here in this passage of scripture is that God flings open the wide door. He looks at the vastness of time. He looks at the history of the human race. He looks at every person that was ever born, that ever walked on the face of the planet, and he sees our birth, and he sees our death, and he sees what our sin has gotten us into. He sees the devastation and the wreckage that sin has produced. And friends, you don't have to be God to see the wreckage of sin has produced. Do you know, if there was no sin in the world, wouldn't be any need for any policemen or women, would there? No. But let me tell you something, there's a need. There is. Thank God that we have them, right? I've often said, especially, well, depends on where you live, but anywhere, if for 1 week it was said, if it was a declaration made, you can do whatever you want, and you're not going to get punished for it. You're not going to get judged for it. There'll be no police at your door. Whatever you want to get away with, you can for 1 week. Would you like to be around for that week?
No.
I wouldn't. No. You know why? Because the Bible tells us that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If man was naturally good, then it would be a great effort to do bad. But it's no big effort to do the wrong thing. We are driven to go in the wrong direction. We need policing. We need governing because of the condition of our hearts. So, what the scriptures teaches is that because of sin, the world is already in a condemned place. If it wasn't in a condemned place, God wouldn't have to send his son. If it wasn't in a big problem, God would never have to send a solution. But because the world's a mess, and listen, you don't have to look at everybody else and say, all those people out there are a mess. You start with yourself. Look at the messes that you have done and the messes that you have created, because always God wants us to take a good look at ourselves. Not to condemn us, but to save us. But in order to know what it is to be saved, I have to know where my position is. I have to know what kind of trouble I'm in. If I don't know what trouble I'm in, I won't need a Savior. I won't need Jesus. I won't turn to Him, and I won't trust in Him. But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The opportunity is given. Anyone can be saved. No matter who they've been, no matter what they have done, anyone can be rescued through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus made some pretty strong claims. He said in John 14:6, no one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. But look what it says in the next verse, because we saw in John 3:16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And then in John 3:18, it says, he who believes in him is what? Not condemned. Did you get that? Whoever believes in Jesus Christ is not condemned. In 1978, as a young, crazy, whacked out hippie, along with my girlfriend at the time, who was as crazy and as whacked out as I was, even though you may not believe that, my sweet, gentle Marie, she was a wild girl. And she had lived a messy, messy life, running away in foster homes, then in halfway house because of getting busted for selling dope. And just her life was a wreck. She was an alcoholic at 17 years old. And her life was completely on the skids. And so was mine. And yet there in the place where we had already condemned, we had condemned ourselves. If we had lived any longer, 6 months more, and we would both been dead. We were on chemicals all night long, wandering the streets, standing one night on High Level Bridge. I remember saying to Marie, I started to climb over the rail. And she said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to jump. She said, I don't think that's a good idea. Now, she was wrecked on LSD. She could have said, wait, I'm going with you. And there, by the grace of God, we didn't fly over the side of a bridge, because God was being gracious to us. But He rescued us, both of us, in the messes that we were in. God showed us His Son. God showed us that we were condemned. Not only had we condemned ourselves in this path of self-destruction, but listen, any sin condemns. The Bible says one sin condemns you, and it's your sin that does it. But we both believed in Jesus Christ. And now we zip ahead from 1978 to now, which is what, 35 years. 35 years later, my wife gets a statement that it looks very likely that she's going to pass away in the next year, 2 years, maybe 6 months, they said. Unless God steps in with a miracle, which He can do. But listen, when that sentence comes, because friends, it's going to come for every one of us, and sometimes you don't even have an opportunity to hear it, will you be able to say, I know I'm not condemned. I am certain where I'm going to spend eternity. Marie said to me, well, I guess this is where the rubber meets the road. That's what she said. She said, this is the place where true faith rises, and oh, it has risen. She said, I'm not afraid. I know exactly where I'm going. Do you? Can you say that tonight? Can you say for certain, if you had a death sentence upon you tonight, if before this night was over, you were going to go into eternity, can you go with assurance and say, I know where I'm going? And I want to say something. If you don't know that, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came so you could. Listen what it says. These are the words of Jesus. I'll take His words above any other. What does He say? He who believes in Him is not condemned. That is amazing. We're so glad we have that hope in Jesus. And I think of this, and I think of people who don't have that hope right now tonight, and they're facing eternity. What fear. What anguish. And listen, I've been at many deathbeds. And I've seen people die. in terrible fear and agony. I've seen them die in absolute complacency because there was nothing else left. But I've seen Christians, and I tell you, one man has said, Christians die well. And it's true. True believers die well. I remember going into the hospital room, and people can't understand that. And there was a woman there who was dying. And as I went in to visit her, she said, I hope you brought your guitar. I want to sing. I want to sing praises to the Lord. And so we were in the place and we were singing and she was praising God and we were laughing and carrying on. And there was some nurses out at the front station and one of them was a believer. And one of the other nurses came in and she was scowling angry. And the other lady said, what's the matter? She said, don't they realize that woman is dying in there? She was mad because she thought, why are they laughing? Why are they carrying on? She's dying. That's the most saddest thing in the world. She wasn't sad. She couldn't wait to see Jesus. She knew she wasn't going to get better. She was going home. Another time, I maybe told you this story, but there was two ladies. I went to visit them. I didn't even know who they were, but one was in her 60s and the other one was in her 80s. A mother and her daughter, both with cancer. Both dying. I went in to visit them and to talk to them as just a random visit. And they found out that I was a preacher. And they said, oh, we're both Christians. We're both saved. We know where we're going. Said, we're not happy that we have cancer. And then they said, we've been wondering who's going to get to see Jesus first. Huh, that's something. Oh, listen, friends. This is a hope. And it's not a fantasy. It's not a fantasy based on, well, you know, I really feel good because I had bacon and eggs for breakfast this morning, so I got a vivid imagination and it feels like I'm going to be okay. Listen, you don't want to rely on your feelings because your feelings are up here one minute and they're down there in the next. I'm thankful my faith is not resting on my feelings. We live in a society today that says, if it feels good, it must be okay. Is that true? Look at what some people are doing that they say feels good, from pedophilia and every other thing. It feels good to them, but is it okay? No. Just because it feels good doesn't make it right. Just because you feel like you're going to heaven doesn't make it true. It's because of what Christ did on the cross that you can have faith and you can rest assured. You can rest on a foundation that will not shake and will not be moved. Every other foundation won't stand. Your feelings are not a good foundation. But all faith in Jesus is a foundation that will stand the test of years and it'll stand the test of eternity because God has promised, Jesus has given his word, whoever believes in him, who is the him? It's the Son, Jesus himself, is not condemned. I'm so glad we have that hope. It's a hope that stands in the face of cancer. I wrote on Facebook, I said, listen, there's a bigger sea than cancer. And that's Christ, bigger C. More than able to meet all the circumstances that come against us. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I don't say these things flippantly about my wife. I love my wife more than I can put into words. And I can tell you, since Monday, I've realized something. I love her more, deeper, richer. I appreciate every moment that we have together now. Because I don't know how many we will. And all the love that's just busting out of me for her. But still, there's a joy. There's a depth and a love towards God and towards everyone that God pours into our souls in the midst of trouble. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And I've experienced that before, but never like this. Never the depth of the presence of God. Because as Corrie ten Boom, who sat in a prison in Auschwitz, I believe it was, or one of the concentration camps in Germany, as she sat there with her sister in a lice-infested area where they were facing the gas chamber, her sister, who died in prison, said this to Corrie, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. And I thank God that's true tonight. And it'll be true tomorrow. And it'll be true whatever we face. And we may be crying, we may be in deep anguish, but inside somewhere, always there's a joy in God. Because we're safe in the arms of Jesus. Oh, how I want you to know that for yourselves, each and every one of us, and be able to live in the reality of it, because nothing else will matter then. Look what it says. He who believes in him is not condemned. But notice what it says. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is exclusive. If you trust in Christ, you are not condemned. If you don't, you are. That's what the scriptures teach us. And here is why. John 3:19 says this. And this is the condemnation. This is the judgment that comes on us. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because light has come into the world. Someone's turned the light on. We live in the dark because of sin. And Jesus comes and he shines his light. He shone the light of his word in the Old Testament. But that still wasn't enough. He had to come and shine himself in the new. His very presence. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In the Old Testament it says, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. But then Jesus comes on the scene. He says, I am the light of the world. And then he goes even further. And he says, when you trust in me, you become lights in this world. Shining for Jesus Christ. Burning for him. But light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen. They've been done in God. And so he gives us an explanation here in John 3:19-21. Why it is that people don't put their hearts, give away their hearts to Jesus. It's because they want to run their own lives, because they want to be in their own control, and they want to hold on to their sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And they don't want to come to the light because it exposes our sin. Listen, when we come to Christ, he shows us where we're wrong. And sometimes we want to hold on to that sin. What would it matter? What sin could I hold on to? For the scripture, Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and in the end he loses his own soul? Or what would you give in exchange for your soul? A few dollars bilked out of somebody? Would you give that in exchange for your soul? What would it matter then? Your pride, independence, a particular sin that you really enjoy, and if you come to Christ, you might have to give it up. What's that worth? It's not worth your soul. Don't love darkness rather than light, but rather come to the light. And we have the statements here about coming to the light. And here it says, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, they've been done in God. That the righteousness of God comes into our lives, and we want to do the right thing, and we want to come to the light and expose the righteousness of Christ. Not only in word, but in deed. Whereas those who walk in the dark don't want to come to the light. They don't want to be exposed. But remember, whoever's in the dark tonight can come into the light. All you need to do is come to Jesus. Remember that these words were not written to condemn us, but to save us. It was written not to just to expose the darkness, but to draw us out of the darkness and into the light. And I'm so glad tonight that there's a Savior who comes into this sin-infested, darkened, and broken world. Who comes to us with the sin in our lives, because everybody's a sinner. And everybody has darkness. And he says, I want to take the darkness out of your life. I want to shine the light of the world into you. And I want it to shine a light into you that will change your life so much that you will do the deeds that God has called you to do. Different deeds now, because Jesus Christ has come to live in us. So this is the passage that I want to leave with you tonight and ask a simple question. Condemned or not condemned? That really depends on one thing, and that is what we do with Jesus Christ. Isn't that plain and simple? That's what Jesus said, not what I said. My words will pass away, but his will never. And it is he that will judge us. Jesus said, my words will judge you in the last day. That is why it's so vitally important that each person comes to Jesus. And oh, listen, friends, his arms are open wide. If he would save a wretch like myself, he would save my wife in the mess that we were in. Will he not save you? Will he not save others in this community? He will. He invites us to come. But we need to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to turn from my sin. And I'm willing to embrace a Savior who's willing to accept me tonight. That's God's love. That's God's care. That's God's passion. May God bless each one of us. And may we be able to stand and say, I know I am not condemned. May we be able to say, if my life was taken tonight, I would walk in glory with the Son of God. You can say it if you've trusted Christ. You can be sure He will never fail you. And that's the good news of the gospel, is it not?
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that sets people free. And thank you, Lord, that it could set us free, my wife and I, 35 years ago. And it can set anyone free tonight. Because it's the same gospel, it's the same God, and it's the same salvation. Thank you, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You have set us free. And Lord, we want to share and spread this wonderful news to the world. Give us grace to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right. I guess, Lord, we give you thanks for the little lunch we're to have together. And thank you for the family of God.
Amen.
Amen.